Good morning. Welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. Thank you so much for spending these 15 minutes with us every other morning. If you have the opportunity, I'd like to invite you to take your Bible and maybe sit down for a few moments and just open up the Word of God. Let God just kind of bathe your soul with His Word. We'll be looking at Judges chapter 8, verses 22 to 32, but basically all of chapter 8. Because we see the end of the life of Gideon, one of the great judges of the nation of Israel, Gideon, the man that was able to bring about a tremendous victory over the Midianites, Gideon with his 300 men. You remember the story? 135,000 Midianites that would always come down every year when the Israelites were reaping their crops, and they would just come in and just rob all the crops, rob all the fruit of the labor of the Israelites all year long, and then they'd be gone. And then they'd come back next year. And of course, God chose Gideon to be the leader of the nation of Israel to defeat the Midianites. But when Gideon finally answered God's call after a long battle, and he called together and had 10,000 men show up, and God said, no, that's too many. You remember why? Because in Judges chapter 7 and verse 2, it says, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me." Isn't that amazing? "Saying, mine own hand hath saved me." See, that's what pride does. It lifts ourselves against God when we think we have accomplished something pretty significant. So God kind of pared the numbers down to 300. And yes, with 300, God gave the Israelites victory over 135,000. In the first battle, you'll remember the story, that Gideon and his 300 men were surrounding the camp in the middle of the night, and everybody was asleep. And then in the middle of the night, at the beginning of the second watch, all of a sudden, the lamps were lit all around the camp of the Midianites, and they heard the shattering of the vessels that hid these lamps, and they heard the trumpets blowing and the men shouting, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon," and the men woke up, and you know, they're sleepy, and so they grab their swords, and it's dark, and they can't tell who's around them. They think their enemies around them, and 120,000 of the Midianites killed themselves while the 300 men just stood there and watched. Now, if you ever want to see what God can do, just review the story. And so chapter 8 comes at the end of that battle. And what an awesome victory has been won. But now there's the mopping up time. And we see that Gideon called for the men of Ephraim at the first of chapter 8 to gather together and capture a couple of kings that were getting away. 15,000 people were getting away, and so sure enough, the men of Ephraim went out and captured these kings and their soldiers and defeated them and killed the kings. But yet at the beginning of chapter 8, we see them really angry at Gideon because they felt like they hadn't been involved in the first part of the battle, and they were men of pride. They just were eaten up with pride. And Gideon answered with great wisdom. But yet, after he solved their issues of pride, then he just asked a couple of other cities of Israel, "Will you help me? Will you give me bread for my 300 men?" And these folks were afraid, and they said, "No, we're not going to do that. And, you know, we don't know if the Midianites are truly defeated." And Gideon got in the flesh. He lost it. And getting in the flesh caused him to lose his testimony. And then we see in the last part of chapter 8, after everybody was defeated, there was 40 years of peace, and Gideon said, "Why don't you just kind of, you know, give me some of the fruits of my labor?" And the fact is, Gideon messed up at the end of his life and ministry. You know, in that whole story, we can see how Satan loves to attack the church because there was disunity. There was unity among the 300 men, and that's why God chose them. But then after that, disunity among the nation of Israel. And that's the way the Lord always loves to work. He loves to pull together those that are of a same heart and same mind. And Satan loves to pull together those that are of a disgruntled heart and a criticizing heart. Now, the question is, not are we going to be those kind of disgruntled people, but how should we respond to those kind of people? And it seems like the older we get, maybe the more impatient we get. And that's exactly what happened with Moses, with Gideon. In fact, the end of your Christian life is just as important as the beginning. It's horribly sad to see Moses striking the rock instead of speaking to it. And in doing so, he forfeited the privilege of entering the promised land. Remember that? We've all seen good Christians stumble in their last lap of the race. And how sad it is. That's exactly the story that we have of Gideon. In the last years of his life, how he messed up. Now, for Moses, it was frustration with God's people that caused him to be tempted to become bitter. For Gideon, it was exactly the same thing. And so, for you and me, it's important to watch how Satan wants to trip us up with bitterness. Maybe I'm speaking to some teenagers this morning. Maybe you're frustrated with your parents. Let me tell you, God has given you these particular parents. Oh, they're not perfect. You can tell us all about that. But God has given you these parents because he wants to teach you some lessons through them or despite them. But God is the teacher. And so turn to the Lord when you're frustrated with your parents. Sometimes pastors are frustrated with their folks in the church. Many times pastors write their resignation letters on Monday morning. Yeah, pastors. Or even ministry leaders who are frustrated with volunteers. Maybe you're in charge of a ministry in your church, and it just seems like people are not faithful, they don't show up, and they don't even let you know, and you get frustrated with them. Maybe you're just frustrated with your boss at work or wives. Maybe you're frustrated with your husbands. See, it usually leads to bitterness and then despair. And that's exactly what happened in Gideon's life. At the end of Gideon's life, he used wisdom when the Ephraimites were saying to him, "Why didn't you call us when you first went to battle?" And his response was, Judges chapter 8 and verse 2, he said, "What have I done now in comparison of you?" And he said in verse 3, "You guys are greater than I am. You're stronger than I am." In other words, he complimented them. He was humble. He deferred to them. He gave them a soft answer. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. So Gideon deferred. He diffused their anger. And you know what happened? He was able to achieve unity for the fight. Because the fight wasn't done. There were still 15,000 who were fleeing who could come back and bring Israel back into bondage. And so he answered correctly. But yes, just moments later, he allowed the antagonistic response of two of the cities, Succoth and Penuel, to frustrate him to anger and threats. Now, true it is that we often become unhinged by the improper responses of some of God's own people. But you know what? We begin to respond in an unbiblical way ourselves. Now, just prior to this Bible study, you heard Pastor Steve Sowers sharing the first part of this chapter, talking about not being like the people in these three groups who were critics. And yes, today our focus is how to respond to all types of critics. It reminds me of Nehemiah. You read the book of Nehemiah, and every time he was attacked, every time he was criticized, he prayed. He prayed. He had the power of the government behind him. The king basically said, "Whatever you want, you've got my blank check. You are the man." But instead of using his power and authority and beating on people, he prayed. And so many times we use our power and our authority to beat on people, whether in church or at home or at work, instead of praying. You see, God wants us to develop the same attack strategy that Nehemiah developed, prayer. Now, we see in the first part of this chapter was an attack of disunity. Ephraim was really a picture of unhappy fellow believers. Because, you see, whenever the war without, outside the church, has been won, watch out for the war within. Satan will always try to attack from within. And honestly, this was just the first of a few prideful statements and attitudes from these men of Ephraim. Yet Gideon's wisdom brought 40 more years of peace. Isn't that amazing? Because he responded correctly, the Bible says that 40 more years of peace at the end of chapter 8 were enjoyed by the nation of Israel. Now, how does that happen? Well, Philippians 2:3 tells us, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And the key word there is nothing. Or the key word could be let. In other words, you have the choice to decide, am I going to deal with strife or vain glory, trying to get glory to myself, which is vanity? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Philippians 2:3. Or Romans 12:10. The Bible says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. That's everybody. Even those that hate you, even those that persecute you, even those that despise you, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. You see, the unity of God's people is more important than our personal pride. You see, Joshua had come from this tribe of Ephraim. The tabernacle was in this area, and their comments had come as a result of jealousy. They were jealous of the leadership that Gideon had shown, and so Gideon was responding with humility. See, their hurt feelings were more important to them than doing God's work on God's enemies. Now, somebody put it this way. Whoever has little burden for God's work has plenty of time to discuss their hurt feelings. I'll say it again. Whoever has little burden for God's work has plenty of time to discuss their hurt feelings. But if you have a great burden for God's work, you're not going to have much time to discuss your hurt feelings because you're busy advancing the work of Christ. You see, if you face the same attitude sometimes that the men of Ephraim faced, then you need to realize, I have taken my eyes off the enemy, and I focused my eyes on the faults of others, and I begin to battle them. Now, you mark it down. God will use anyone who doesn't care who gets the credit. They could have fought Gideon had he not answered them with wisdom. And somebody said, fight each other, and the enemy always wins. But the lesson is, don't fight each other. Always fight the devil. I trust these lessons will begin to bear fruit in your heart and life. A couple of days as we join together again, we will continue this study in Judges chapter 8. Join us with an open Bible and an open heart. Until then, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.